Me? Insufficient? Definitely, yes. But you know, every time I fall apart, God glues me back together, brand new, with His grace. Grace which can be defined as the unmerited favor of God. That is, God doing for us what we in no way deserve. In this chapter, I trust that you will begin to see something of the wonder of the grace of God. Let's consider the price that God was willing to pay in order to give us this grace. What was the price? Of course, it was the death of His own Son. Think of the persons that the grace of God reaches. Sinners of the deepest stain. Harlots, drunkards, adulterers, fornicators, liars, cheats, murderers, unbelievers, atheists, communists, and religious hypocrites. None is too vile for the grace of God to reach and to save. We appreciate His grace even more when we understand the patience He shows. His messengers have been persecuted, stoned, and killed. His beloved Son was crucified and slain, and the Bible tells us that yet where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He puts up with those of us who are His children, with our disobedience, our half-heartedness, our even being busy with lesser things, our thinking that we can fool even Him, and yet in patient love, He continues to give us more grace. He will never take it from us. Romans 11:29 tells us that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Only the grace of God could raise a believer to the position that we enjoy. We become a child of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. We are saved from sin and hell and are being prepared to live in the mansion that He's preparing for us in heaven. What are the areas in which we find that God's grace is operative and sufficient? Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we have the grace of God, but ladies, we only have it at our point of need. Physically, for instance, in Deuteronomy 33:25, the Bible says that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In our physical infirmities, 2 Corinthians 12:9 gives us this grace bonus. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. In old age, His grace will cause us to be full of life and vitality. According to Psalm 92:14 in the Berkeley, in old age they shall still be bearing fruit. They shall be full of life and vitality. And then we see examples of God's grace in physical hunger. Elijah found God's grace by the brook Cherith. In 1 Kings 17, God promised Elijah, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Our God is sovereign, and He commands even the birds. Aren't you glad? Emotionally, we are engulfed by guilt. We lack self-acceptance. We have fears and immaturity. For our guilt, there is Romans 5:20, which says, the more we see our sinfulness, the more we see God's abounding grace forgiving us. This is His forgiving grace. For our self-acceptance, there's Ephesians 1:6. Which says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. This is His accepting grace. For our fear of failing or falling, there is Jesus' own prayer for us in John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And this is His keeping grace. And for our maturing process, there is 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is His molding grace. And then in the spiritual realm, we struggle with sin, with growing and with helping others and with knowing God's mind. But in each experience, we're met with more grace. Deliverance comes to us through His restraining grace. The power to grow comes through His enriching grace. 1 Corinthians 1:5 says, in everything, we are enriched by Him. Ministry ability comes through His equipping grace. Ephesians 4:7 in the Living Bible says, Christ has given each of us whatever He wants us to have out of His rich storehouse of gifts. Wisdom and insight enter our lives because of His imparting grace. The Word says, therein lies the richness of God's free grace, imparting full wisdom and insight. Well, what's the source of grace? The blood of Jesus Christ. And the question is, how do we appropriate it? Look at your answer to question 8 on page 7. faith is one way. God works at getting us in a corner where we have no choice but to trust Him. And I've been in those places, haven't you? The roughest going makes for the fastest growing. And when man is in the dust, God can talk to him then about His grace. The second way that we can appropriate the grace of God is by exercising or employing our gifts. Gifts that are given by the grace of God. And then thirdly, sharing His grace in order to appropriate it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." This involves reaching out to others. Why do you think we don't experience and appropriate more of God's grace? Well, some of the reasons are self-sufficiency, selfishness in sharing, willful sin, and pride. These are just four plugs or four clogs in the pipe of God's grace to us. Galatians 2:21 in the Williams translation speaks about our doing our own thing, whether it be indulgences or penance. It says, "I can never nullify the unmerited favor of God. For if right standing with God could come through the law, then Christ died for nothing." And 2 Corinthians 6:1 speaks of our not sharing God's grace. It says, "Receive not the grace of God in vain." God's grace is not given to us to hoard. Hebrews 10:26-29 speaks to our deliberate sinning. And 1 Peter 5:5 and James 4:6 speaks to our pridefulness. It says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And Jesus Christ says to us, ladies, "My grace is all you need."